This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Being joined now by our Green and Gold insider, Mike Clemens. And Mike, I sat there and watched that last night. I'm like a lot of people. I'm like, whoa, you know, you just couldn't kind of believe what you were seeing.
Yeah, and you know, Myles Garrett, I don't know what his scouting report said. There's no such thing as a scouting report as, you know, likely to pull off a player's helmet and hit him over the head with it. That's nowhere in there.
Nope. And the funny thing is when you start to read a lot of the comments from players, Myles Garrett's been looked at as a leader. He's been looked at as a guy, obviously the first pick overall in the 2017 draft, a guy that's been that groomed vet, a guy that's been a leader in the locker room, or at least tried to be, is somewhat mild-mannered away from the field. I mean, nobody saw this coming from this guy, and like he said, he just lost it.
Tremendous pass rusher, the leader of their defense, now gone for the rest of the season, other suspensions with this. But as I watched this happen, I couldn't help but thinking, what's going through John Dorsey's mind? Because, you know, Dorsey is a guy who played linebacker for the Packers, a teammate of Gary Ellerson, was with it to the Packers personnel department, and could have been a candidate as your general manager for, you know, for the 20 years buildup, hired by Ron Wolf. I got to talk to Dorsey last spring at the Combine, and you could see, I mean, people were excited about him taking over the Browns and the moves that he had made so far. And I said, you know, do you think about Ron Wolf and some of these decisions and you know, turning around a franchise just like Ron did back in 92 and being, you know, on the cusp of perhaps a new era in Cleveland?
Yeah, those are big shoes to fill. I know this. The similarities are because of the passion of the fans. I think the Cleveland Browns fan base is incredible. And then you know, you guys in Green Bay, you always talk about that rich, storied tradition. Guess what? The Cleveland Browns got a little bit of rich, storied tradition, too. So I just hope I can do as good a job as Ron did.
Nice enough to talk to me, you know, good guy, all that. But you start to wonder, what if John Dorsey had been the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, right, taking over for Ted Thompson? Why didn't he get the job? Why didn't they take him aside and say, hey, you know, Ted, maybe another couple of years, hang in there? Because the guy that's been running the place since 2008, 2 years before they got to the Super Bowl, is Mark Murphy. Mm-hmm. He's been on the clock, all right? He was there with the transition with Brett Favre. And he was not there when the franchise made an incredible decision in 2005 to have Aaron Rodgers. And that's still paying off dividends in 2019. That's number one reason why you're 8-2 this year, Aaron Rodgers.
You know? Yep. No, Dorsey was a guy that decided to take a chance. I mean, you got like Kareem Hunt he brought into the mix. Odell Beckham Jr. he brought into the mix.
That's a great point. See, now, so Dorsey, instead, he gets an offer to double or triple his salary, become a GM, leave Green Bay, broke his heart, but he had the sense like, I don't know how much longer Ted's going to be here. I've got an opportunity. I can hook up with a guy like Andy Reid. He gets down there, and he builds a pretty good, you know, team with the Kansas City Chiefs, except he starts being reckless with the money. He gives Justin Houston, who'd been a third-round pick for them, a six-year deal with $101 million, $52 million guaranteed. The Hunt family was never happy about that deal. And, of course, 12 weeks into that first year of the new contract, he has a torn ACL, lost for the season, and, you know, he hasn't been the same. So that's essentially why Dorsey was out with Kansas City, because they didn't like how he was handling the money. Then he goes to Cleveland, and Jimmy Haslett, the owner of the Browns, who's, you know, started that Flying J truck stop enterprise, that's how he got to be rich enough to buy the Browns, and they're trying to, you know, get someone with some football sense to change that roster. But look at the decisions that Dorsey's made. You know, they had three quarterbacks up there, Baker Mayfield, the cocky, always got a chip on his shoulder kid, Josh Rosen, who I got to see these guys at that combine, and I just thought, this guy thinks he's Aaron Rodgers, but he's not. I mean, he's really talking himself up, and now I know he's been stuck with the Cardinals and now the Dolphins, But, you know, he hasn't panned out. And the one guy that I kind of liked that I thought had some Favre qualities that could throw a football 70 yards and would be a likable teammate is Josh Allen. And right now he's on a winning team with the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And then these other Dorsey decisions in Cleveland, like Odell Beckham Jr., okay, tremendous talent, but a disgruntled head case that wanted out of New York.
Right.
Or Jarvis Landry, another disgruntled head case out of the Miami Dolphins. They didn't re-sign Tremont Williams. And so, you know, the Green Bay is always so big on that character issue. The next thing is not keeping a player too long, like Morgan Burnett, who was having these leg injuries. Packers didn't re-sign him when he was like 28. He went on to the Pittsburgh Steelers, had some injuries, and they needed a safety, and they probably needed a, you know, a good veteran guy in that locker room, so they bring him in. Unfortunately, Morgan tore his Achilles last night. 30 years old, he's probably done. They traded away DeShone Kizer to the Packers and picked up Demaryius Randall, a head case from the Packers. I mean, that kid came in as a first-round pick and was impressive at times in his rookie season, but as time went on, I mean, he talked the talk, but he never lived up to it. Remember the one time when he deserted the bench and McCarthy at halftime in a game? So Demaryius Randall, where has that turned out? That last year, you elevated Greg Williams, the Bounty Gate guy, as defensive coordinator to interim head coach, and then you take Freddie Kitchens over Mike McCarthy. And I'm thinking about what Dorsey has done in the last 2 years, getting these guys, you know, the island of misfits, the island of the disgruntled guys.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they've got this edge to them. And what do you get? Well, you've got this team that's underperforming, most penalized team in the NFL. Penalized teams don't win Super Bowls. Maybe they get to the playoffs, but, you know, like typical Raiders teams from years ago, those kinds of things, you know, thugs don't ever make it. And it just, to me, it breeds that kind of atmosphere in the locker room where a guy is snapping and swinging his helmet and hitting the opposing quarterback in the helmet. I've thought about Brian Gutekunst and his decisions in the last 2 years, and there's one time that he was confronted when he had a player who jacked a Patriots center after a play in the face, with the palm of his hand, into the face mask,
mm-hmm.
which drew a penalty. And that dude was gone
the next
within
day.
48 hours. Yeah. Jermaine Whitehead, who was a guy that Mike Pettine needed. He needed this tough, hard-hitting, safety-like character because they were short at that position. And so he elevated him during the big game against the Rams. He promoted him to a hot spot right there next to Blake Martinez, kind of changed the defense, had him play in that spot where he was basically like a roving linebacker, a hybrid safety. He did well against the Rams. He's in that Patriots game. But the kid loses his head in that game against the Patriots, and he was gone because that's not the Packer way. So who picked him up? John Dorsey.
Yeah.
And what happened to Jermaine Whitehead?
He's gone. He went crazy.
He's
trying to kill people.
Threatening to kill people with guns on Twitter.
Yeah.
So when I see something like that happen, that's why Green Bay is so adamant about the culture and the character, and Aaron Rodgers is that way about who are you letting into this locker room and who are we going to pass on. And then you brought up another one, Kareem Hunt. You know, Dorsey drafted him in with the Chiefs. Who knew that he was going to be this, have this domestic violence videotape out there? But he's the one giving him a second chance. And so you just keep on saying, that's okay. You know, we're Pirates. That's the way we're going to be here in Cleveland. And then you end up with a situation like last night.
Yeah, no doubt. Mike, good stuff. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back more with Mike Clemens, our NFL insider. He's joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Also, Mike is brought to you by good friends at Potawatomi Bingo Casino. It's all happening at Potawatomi Hotel Casino. Visit them at paysbig.com. That is paysbig.com. More with Mike Clemens right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Just talking with Jimmy, and I will share that we both pretty excited about the opportunity being older players and just understanding how special this feels, and it doesn't happen like this all the time. Hopefully those guys understand how important the opportunity is and not do anything stupid that's going to jeopardize their role in that opportunity. You know, Tremont and I and Big Dog and Jimmy, I just think we're asking for guys to do their part and to buy into something. This is optional accountability. You know, you have the option to buy into what we're doing or not. And it doesn't stop when you leave the building. You carry that G with you wherever you go.
Optional accountability. You can either buy in or you can go away. Aaron Rodgers there. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends that are taking myself, Mike Clemens, who is joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline down to Miami. Compliments of our friends over at Great Lakes Dragaway. Go to greatlakesdragaway.com. Now, the 2020 season right around the corner, and they had a huge 2019 season. They've had upgrades down there. The track's fantastic. You're going to want to get your season pass for the upcoming burnout year, whether it's your weekend beater or something that, you know what I'm talking about. You've invested your heart and your sweat and your soul into. You can run it down at Great Lakes Dragaway. Go to greatlakesdragaway.com. That's greatlakesdragaway.com. Also, our friends at Milwaukee Brewing, MKE Brewing. Go to Milwaukee Brewing and check them out at 9th Street, downtown Milwaukee. Next to the old Pabst Brewery. They've got big parties on the weekends celebrating 22 years locally grown craft beer company. And they've got watch parties on game day. All kinds of good stuff down there. Great place to go down and hang out. They've got some food down there. Compliments to the Glass and Griddle. And then there's Pindell, a specialty machining company right there in New Berlin, and in New Berlin, Wisconsin. And they believe in taking care of you and the customer. They got a great commitment to quality and the product. And if you're looking to become part of a truly winning team, go to Pindell, P-I-N-D-E-L.com. That is Pindell.com. And see for yourself what it is I'm talking about. Good wages, good people to work for. Stop in and check out the whole gang over at Pindell. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Mike, optional, if you want to call it that, accountability. I like that by Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and, another thing that Rodgers is doing now is every year, I know 10 years ago he used to do this under the radar. He would throw these parties for Salvation Army kids and families.
Mm-hmm.
Where, there'd be a Santa Claus and there'd be gifts, and he just would fund the whole thing, and he'd have the Salvation Army run it for him. And, there's no media involved with that. They just did it. They reached out because they knew where there was families in need. I mean, he's been helping them out for years. And then I think in recent years, the team is like, well, look, why don't you bring that in-house and let's host it and help you, and maybe you can reach more people. And so he's had these signings. Now, in what might be a special season, he's tried to kick that up with the team a little bit more. He's asked about a dozen of his teammates over the next five Monday nights, come to the atrium. They'll do an autograph signing for you, and then if you make a donation to Salvation Army, and then if there's enough people that show up, then Rodgers will match up to 50 grand. So in other words, over the next five nights on Monday nights, if fans go to the atrium at Lambeau Field, the details on the team website, Rodgers could be up for as much as a $250,000 donation to the Salvation Army and also asking his teammates to help out.
And one of the guys, as he had mentioned in that clip there that we heard coming back, one of the guys he's gone to, a veteran that he's talked to, he's trusting, is Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham. What's interesting about Jimmy Graham is he's been on two Super Bowl caliber teams and never won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Got drafted by the Saints the year after they'd won the Super Bowl.
Right.
There are five or six years. Gets drafted, gets picked up, signed with, as a free agent with the Seattle Seahawks a year or two after they had won the Super Bowl. So this is a guy that's still salivating, a veteran, and that's why he and Rodgers say, listen, man, an 8-2 start and the way things are going in our division right now, this is pretty special. We got an opportunity here. And so Rodgers has been pretty public about, hey, I know Jimmy Graham hasn't talked to you guys much in the media in the past, but this guy's an ally. He got me through a rough year last year, and this is the kind of veteran leadership I need to get through these next 8 weeks and hopefully into the postseason. And so, you ask Graham about coming out so flat against the Chargers, turning that around at home at Carolina to finish on a winning note, and, what he thinks about this squad if they can seriously make a run at the playoffs coming back from the bye.
This team's pretty young, though. So when you have a moment like we did last week, getting stops when needed, getting turnovers when we needed, and scoring when we had to, it shows a lot and builds a lot of confidence in the young guys, what we're able to do. It's going to do well for us after the bye. We got a bunch of big games coming up. We'll see where the chips fall.
Mike, when you talk about, Jimmy Graham and kind of see where the chips fall, I mean, I know he wants to win a championship as bad as anybody. Then there's guys that kind of lead by doing and walking the walk, so to speak. Jimmy's trying to be one of them. I know a lot of guys talk about it. Devontae being another. While other guys are taking off and going to parts unknown, Devontae was a guy that said, look, I need to get better. I need to feel great. I got to stay in Green Bay. What do you say, 3,000,000% or something like that? He's got to be ready. There's a lot of guys that are taking this series, this season serious. Is this could be it? Because there's a feeling in Green Bay.
Yeah, and it's like what Aaron Rodgers said. You know, if you've got a medical issue, then stay in Green Bay and get some treatments for it. Now, there's some guys that are doing okay. Aaron Jones, the running back, he went out to L.A. He was on the NFL Network last night with James Jones. So, you know, taking advantage of that time. Other guys we've seen, I think you said Zadarius was from a...
He was down in Jamaica.
Somewhere from Jamaica on the beach there.
Yeah.
Okay. But Davante Adams, it's been 6 weeks now since he's suffered that turf toe injury against the Eagles. And he said, I'm staying here and trying to get this thing fixed.
I mean, I still have to deal with some uncomfortable stuff. You know, I'm obviously able to perform at a high level and still run around and be full speed, so that's a plus. But dealing with some soreness and stuff is really all I got right now. Everybody still needs to take advantage of this week off, training-wise and treatment-wise, different things. I know I'll be in town all week just making sure I'm continuing to get back so I can feel 1,000 or 3,000,000% like myself. So, but, yeah, I know everybody's going to do a good job with that. So we're in a blessed position with our record and with our health right now.
3,000,000%, that's a lot.
It is.
That is.
You know, but what's been interesting about this season is they've got 22 guys on the injury list, but they're out there playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Jaire Alexander, who suffers a groin injury in last Friday's practice, and they put him up as questionable. He's still out there playing in the snow and the wet, you know, surface up against the Carolina Panthers. You got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who seems to have dropped off the last couple weeks. Well, it was like 3-4 weeks ago in that game at Lambeau where he got the knee and the ankle twisted. He's been bothered by an ankle. And Matt LaFleur said, yeah, you know what? There's been a drop-off because he's playing through some things. Well, it's that ankle injury. But, you know, guys, Geronimo Allison gets clobbered, you know, in the helmet, and he's back a week later passing the protocol and getting back out there, you know, to battle. So that's impressive. I mean, guys are out there playing hurt and getting back on the field. And then you got Matt LaFleur, who celebrated his 40th birthday last night, went to the Bucks game with his wife and his two sons and got some applause there. And, you know, his brother, his younger brother, Mike, is the passing coordinator for the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'd think that maybe Kyle Shanahan, a guy that he worked alongside, worked with it for his dad, Mike Shanahan, with the Redskins, and then later with the Falcons, the year that they went to the Super Bowl, if you'd say, is your best friend Kyle Shanahan? Now that's the next guy you got to face. Well, actually, there's one other guy on that 49ers team LaFleur talked about, and why he watches the 49er games all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also have, you know, my brother coaches there too, so I always keep close watch on them as well. I got a lot of friends on that staff and got a lot of respect for what they do. I think they're pretty innovative. Shoot, the defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, he's one of my closest buddies in the profession. He's the one that actually got me into the National Football League. So, yeah, I you know, I'm always keeping an eye on what they're doing.
And Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, is, you know, looking like a hot NFL head coach prospect
right now.
Those two were together at Central Michigan. And then about a year or two later, when Robert got with the Houston Texans, he brought along his buddy Matt LaFleur to get in an internship, and that's how Matt LaFleur got in the NFL.
Yeah, it's been like you said, Mike, you and I talked a while ago, it's a brotherhood, it's kind of a full circle, but it's, you know, it's also about lifers, guys that, you know, start at the bottom and work their way up and kind of, you know, take bits and pieces from everybody they work with. And Matt LaFleur, at least according to the records for all the guys that are first-year head coaches, Matt LaFleur is shining right now as opposed to everybody else.
Well, the other thing is it's the staff because, you know, greatest fear 9-10 months ago is, man, look, that's an awful lot of experience you let walk out the door. You let James Campen go to the Browns and Joe Witt, the defensive backs coach, go to the Browns and these other guys. And you're replacing with 39-year-old head coaches and 35-year-old offensive line coaches from the 49ers that, you know, didn't make it here on the practice squad and that and the other thing. But now that you're, you know, not even quite a year into it, there's quite a network in Green Bay. I mean, these guys have all been on 5 or 6 different teams. They know the inner workings of teams that you might even face in the playoffs. And that's what's actually added to the fresh atmosphere and the more updated thinking about a lot of things in the league is because you've got so many new outside voices with some experience from some pretty good teams along the way.
Mark Murphy was the guy, Mike, that kind of at least according to many, made this call, or at least instigated this call. And then obviously Brian Gutekunst and everybody went in the agreement that Matt LaFleur was going to be the guy. Mark Murphy, I don't think he necessarily gets a lot of credit, but he's also with the NFL, and we were talking about this yesterday. The NFL's got a lot looming on the horizon. They want to get a deal done by March, and Mark's got not only a team to run, but he's also on this committee that's trying to get this deal done with the ownership group. And from what I understand, Mike, 17 games is going to be where they're at next year.
And that's something that Murphy tipped us off to, because there was that story that came out of an NFL meeting, owners meeting, about a year ago that said, you know, there's teams that are saying we need a new source of revenue. We want to expand the games from 16 to 18 games. And, you know, right away, players and players' agents and the union are saying, no, you're not. Because the players don't want to go past 16 games in a regular season. It beats up their body. It doesn't necessarily mean more money for them. They don't like playing in preseason games. But it just seemed like it was making the season too long. It also messes up the sport. I mean, the sport's perfect right now with the breakdown in divisions, the 32 teams, 16 regular season games, records for the last 20 or 35 years that are all measured by that stick. All kinds of reasons to just leave it alone the way it is. And yet, in talking to Mark Murphy, and he came up with this idea of Titletown, and not to make it like a mall, because look where malls are going. They're going out of business. But to invest in the property around Lambeau Field, which is an iconic location to begin with, much like the Ricketts did with Wrigley Field. Take an old ballpark that people love, buy the property around it, start bringing in that money from people that know how to run bars and condos and those kinds of things. And that's what the Packers are doing. And that's why Titletown is more of a, it looks like a think tank with, you know, computer firms and condos and that, as opposed to being all necessarily, you know, boutiques and gift shops and more places to buy Packers T-shirts. Patriots Village is a little bit more that way, and we'll see how that works out down the road. But I asked Murphy about this because there's all these things that are at hand. Brian Gutekunst needs 4 preseason games to evaluate a 90-man roster to see if it's Tim Boyle or Deshaun Kizer at quarterback. Make those kinds of decisions. You got to get as many snaps as you can. And the coaches don't want to have their players play and get injured in a meaningless game. The players, like Aaron Rodgers, don't want to set foot on a preseason field. So that brings down the quality of these games. Although there's plenty of good teams right now. I mean, Russell Wilson was in just about every preseason game this year. Hasn't hurt him at all. So I talked to Murphy about the troubles that the coaches have in trying to evaluate their teams, the scouts and all that. And why can't some of these other teams raise external funds instead of messing with the schedule as a way to generate extra revenue for the team versus, you know, guys playing in extra in an 18-game or 17-game regular season?
That's something that, we're discussing. We're talking to the players about it. Obviously there's concerns about the health and safety of our players. And so we're looking at different options. The other reality, quite honestly, Mike, is the quality of our preseason is not great. And I think it's declining as we go along. Fewer and fewer starters are playing in preseason games. So I think we're looking at a number of different options. But it's not all about revenue. I think we also need to do what's right by our players and the fans. But we're unique, I think, in terms of being able to support invest in a project like Titletown. It's a little more difficult for some of the other teams to do something like that.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Final segment of the Bill Michaels Show for this Friday with Mike Clemens coming up next.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Big, big challenge this week. As we've started to look at Denver, we feel like objectively, they're the best defense we will play or have played this season so far.
Welcome back! hopefully you're enjoying yourself. The Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins facing the Broncos this weekend. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Michael, so we got some games coming up this weekend we're all going to be paying attention to, right?
Yeah, really, Kirk? The Broncos.
Right. Defense.
Well, and maybe he's just, you know, returning the favor because Von Miller, the captain of the defensive lineback for the Broncos, you know, he reminded reporters that it was his idea to, because Joe Flacco now is on IR with a herniated disc. It was his idea to bring in Kirk Cousins out to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Had a whole campaign to get this guy here about 2 years ago. You know how I feel about him. I think he's a great quarterback.
So we'll find out how that goes this week.
Yeah, we'll see how that happens.
So it's the Vikings against the Broncos. The Vikings are at 7-3, a game behind the Packers. The Lions, Matt Stafford, he hasn't practiced this week. He's got the back injury. If he hasn't practiced, I don't think he's going to be able to go. The Cowboys are favored by 4.5 in that game. They're going to play it at Ford Field in Detroit at noon on Sunday. So that's what else is going on in the NFC North. And then it's the Bears on Sunday Night Football. And David Montgomery, the rookie running back, he twisted his ankle in Wednesday's practice, missed yesterday's practice. But he could be questionable going into that game against the Rams at the Coliseum. It's the first time that the Chicago Bears have played a team in the Coliseum since 1994, so there's all that history there. And, you know, it should be an interesting game. Now, the Rams, I think, are favored in that one by 5 or 6 points or so, and that doesn't say much about, you know, Mitch Trubisky. But the Rams at 5-4, you know, surprised they're not doing better. But the biggest thing I've seen wrong with them is their offensive line has been so banged up. Jared Goff has not had time to throw the football. Todd Gurley's, you know, half of what he was last year, and so they haven't been scoring points on offense. Here was a great question somebody raised. Maybe the Packers, they should have brought back Clay Matthews for whatever low price they could have get him, and they could have put him at inside linebacker next to Blake Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
Although Clay didn't want to play inside linebacker. You know, it's a brutal position. He's a pass rusher at heart. I don't know if he would have, if the Packers had even offered that, if he would have stayed in Green Bay.
Yeah, he wanted to go beat a man. You know, I mean, he still felt that he had it and wanted to, you know, kind of go beat a man. So I didn't think he was coming back regardless.
No, and he actually was having some good plays, you know, until he broke the jaw and, you know, missed the last month or so.
Yeah. Mike, is that it? Anything else?
Well, this Colin Kaepernick story.
Yeah, well, that's right. We haven't even discussed that.
Joe Philbin is going to be there for the workout, the former Packers offensive coordinator and interim head coach, along with Hugh Jackson, the former Browns and Bengals coach, two offensive coaches. They're doing this in Atlanta tomorrow. 11 teams are supposed to be there. One from the NFC North is the Lions. I would think the Bears would send somebody, but they probably don't want that out.
Yeah.
But the story about this is this. Kaepernick, people forget, Kaepernick got replaced by Blaine Gabbert. You know, Chip Kelly benched him because he'd lost it, and he'd had an injured shoulder that he had surgery on. And so then he's taking this knee and started all that controversy, and the president got involved, you know, by calling players SOBs for taking knees. But this is what I remember. You and I were at the Super Bowl in Houston at the end of that season, and Sam Weiss from NFL Network had written that story that Kaepernick had taken a knee during the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
I said, boy, that was, you know, good eye. How did you catch that? And he said, I was tipped off.
Huh.
And I said, oh. In other words, Kaepernick had taken a knee the week before, and nobody noticed.
Right.
Because he wasn't the starter
in
a preseason game. So, like, his agent or somebody said, hey, watch Colin before the game. See what he does during the national anthem. And when he saw him take the kneel, then he took the hint, and he went to talk to Kaepernick in the locker room when nobody else was.
Right.
And that's when Kaepernick came up with this statement. Yeah, I'm taking a knee because I, you know, police brutality, and I'm not going to stand up for the flag. And that's how this whole thing got started 2.5 years ago.
Michael, always good. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Enjoy watching a whole lot of football and just taking it easy, and then we'll chat again soon.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, buddy. See you. There you go. Mike Clements, NFL Sirius Radio. Time for us to go. Have a go. Sleep.
In Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.